Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts.
Man, it is the season to smile. How about that?
A really wise person told me the other day, somebody said he sounded like they were in a bad mood, and he said, you know what? I've got two states, happy and happier.
That wise man has been on the radio.
He has. I love that.
His
name's Kobe. Kobe, that's right. So Kobe give me a shout
Southern
out.
Georgia. Well, today we got David Roberts from Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Man, we're going to. It's getting hot.
We're going deeper. I want to ask him how warm it is down there today. We're recording this midweek.
We're pushing 80 here, so he's probably in the close to 90.
Dude, I've been on the run traveling. You know, we had to record some shows early. My buddies at church giving me a hard time because of talking about basketball games that already happened. You like to do that. He's the cat's out in the bag. Bill, you can take that. But this is week of, and it is warm. It's going to be 88 degrees today. The sun is shining, and I like it. Riding over the river last night after Ford's baseball game, Ford said, Dad, we're going in this river this summer. I said, what are you saying?
What are you waiting for?
I said, what are you saying? He said, we're going to go in this river. Rowan has her birthday party always on the river. Well, son, I hope we go in the river more than just her birthday party.
I'm surprised he didn't go in on the spot. Pull over, jump off the bridge. Let's go.
He is. He's ready.
Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to jump off bridges anymore.
It's looking good. I will say I have never jumped off either one of those bridges,
Wilkinson
Boulevard or the railroad trestle.
As long as you've lived there.
I know a lot of people that jumped off that railroad trestle, but my dad always was completely against it because you can have a log floating in the water, you hit the log, you're paralyzed, you're dead, you break your legs. I mean, he scared the poop out of me.
No, I have been in a situation where that happened on a rope swing on the Chattahoochee River growing up.
Really?
Yeah, well, there was a few of us out there, and a girl hit a rock, and it jammed into her knee, and it was really serious, like close to amputation because of the bacteria that got into her.
Goodness.
It was nuts.
Well, one time when I was about 12 or 13, I was on Lake Norman with my friend and his mom, and we went to a quarry.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were jumping off, and I was all proud. They took some pictures. I got the picture developed and showed my dad. I was all proud, and he got so mad. He said, that ain't how you roll. Now, I will say later in life, you know, down in clearer water, that's not flowing and stuff, where you're pulling logs in and you can see what's there. I have jumped off some pretty high stuff.
Yeah.
And done maybe a somersault or two.
Somersault.
And maybe landed on my back. And said, oh!
People are like, are you sunburned? As a matter of fact, I'm not.
Yeah.
My back is really red.
But, yeah, man, I don't know, man. Springtime's good. Reagan told the kids they're in the fourth quarter of their school year, which is great.
Yeah.
The girls are all playing soccer. They're on the same team. That's pretty efficient. Ford's playing baseball. Got to brag about the boy. The boy got a line drive hit last night. Kid pitch ball. I was pretty proud of it.
Well, I'll tell
you what.
Played
third base.
We might need him on a Roby softball team. We might need him.
Was last night not a good one?
It wasn't good. Wasn't good. Yeah, there's a guy that hit one. I'm not sure if it's landed yet. I mean, it was like beautiful flying through the sky.
Well, I always thought I was a pretty decent baseball player.
I know we've talked about it.
It doesn't really translate to softball.
The fielding does.
To a point.
I think we're improving each week. I feel like pitching's been okay, and Jeremy might need to pick it up a little bit. I'm just joking if you're listening, but we're going to test him. Let's see if he listens. I think we're getting better. We might have a W or two before the end.
You think? We hire all these former collegiate baseball players. I don't understand.
We've got some good players. I know. Don't get
what
me wrong.
What is the reason we're hiring these guys for?
Not softball.
I thought we were going to have a good softball team.
Yeah, I think that we're okay, but I think the other teams might be like all former college players have. So I was not a college baseball player.
I understand.
Contrary to popular belief, but no, it's all right. We're having a good time, and that's all that really matters.
Yeah, that is fun.
Yeah, camaraderie
hopefully
and fun.
Y'all having good camaraderie. It's hard for me to make it with the kids' sports and
totally
all that.
Totally good, yeah.
And the travels.
I can't make it every time either.
But I did go kiteboarding last week.
Yeah, you did.
My annual kiteboarding trip, which is fun.
How was that?
I'm mediocre at it, too. I notice a trend.
That looks like it'd be really tough on, like, your core. I think we've talked about that before.
It's great
exercise. Yeah.
And the guys that are really good. So I'm probably a 5 out of 10, and the gradient between beginner and 5 is really big. And then the gradient between 5 and 9 is really big.
So, like, what you're talking about, almost like it's comparable like to a golf handicap, like a beginner golfer versus a 15 handicap.
I'm like a 5 out of 10. I mean, pretty consistent.
But you're not a 5 handicap.
I'm a 5 out of 10 in the game of golf. And I'm always going to stay there.
I got you. Me too.
I think I'm doomed to do that in all walks of life. I'm just going to be like a 5%.
Me too. I'm mediocre at golf, and I'm pretty sure it's my golf clubs. That's
every
problem.
Time I try to make a better return than 5%, I lose, goes to zero. I just need to quit.
I think he get a savings.
You get that analogy?
Get a savings bond now. Yeah.
Greedy guys. When the tide goes out, they're not wearing any clothes. Warren Buffett says that. Mm. So, and we're all humans. So you live and learn. You do some investments that aren't the wisest. Thinking you're going to make some crazy thing, and then the tide goes out.
Ooh, everything's there to see.
All right, so we got David Roberts coming up.
Hattiesburg, Mississippi?
Yeah, if y'all remember, Ab Payne, one of my dearest mm-hmm. friends from YPO, has been on the show. He's from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I have not been there yet, but David is the president of Roberts Company, grocery store business. So I mean, it's so unique, the awesome people that we get to have on this show, and he's a character, so we're gonna have a lot of fun. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the first segment, go back, check us out on anywhere you can find a podcast, but especially hit our LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all the social media channels. We are there.
You're getting good at this.
About time. I've been doing it for
somebody
like 8 years.
Somebody texted me the other day and said, Lee Cornwell texted me and said Katie sound? Said I was a professional.
And she said, I knew that made you were like, I could feel it in the text. I'm like, man, that just made Trent's year.
I think that was a lie.
I think she was being serious.
Me and Katie are pretty good buddies. She's a cool lady.
But Lee, we'll give it to you. That's the best show of all time until today.
What's up, David Roberts?
Oh,
man. I've always wanted to say this on the radio.
Uh-oh.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Man, I hear you. That's good. I mean, and you are a caller. Too bad you're not here hanging out in Charlotte. Are you in Hattiesburg now?
I'm not. I'm in Washington, D.C.
Oh, man, what you doing up there?
Man, I am going to meet with some folks on the Hill about some grocery things, man. Some FTC antitrust stuff. A lot of fun, exciting things happening.
Wow.
Credit card fees and all that. I'm the young guy in the grocery business, so they're like, hey, he can do it. So is this from
industry leadership role you have?
Yes. Trent, it is. So, and it's with the National Grocers Association. They're kind of like the independent grocers.
Yeah.
Independent, right? It could be one store operator or a 30 store operator, right? So you got your regionals, which I still consider them independents. And then, you got your big players, but the NGA really is kind of like the voice in Washington for the independent grocer.
That is so awesome. Are you on the national, board or leadership role?
So I'm on the Government Relations Committee, yes.
I hear
so,
you.
I don't want to – there goes the neighborhood moment for the NGA if they put me on the board one day, but, you know, I can at least do this part. So definitely enjoying it, man. It's been fun. I've learned a lot.
Well, doing your civic duty, too, that's great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
It's probably beautiful
Thank
up there
you.
This time of year, I would imagine, as well.
It's very windy right now. I'm looking outside, but it's very pretty. And I think the cherry blossoms – Full, are going, so I'm definitely happy to check that out.
Full pop. Yeah, we were there. I was there about a month ago, and they were starting to pop. It is really pretty.
It is, man. It's a cool area. It's a great, so much history. I love it.
So
good food too.
So Patrick and I, it was one of our pillars of our business is that the leaders of our business get involved in our associations as well. So we have both led the Remodeling Association, our local mm-hmm. chapter, and gone and attended national stuff and been very involved. And then I led the Home Builders Association and have done some national stuff with that. So I think that is so cool. That's how you lead.
Man.
You got to give back, and you got to protect your peers and your industry.
That's right.
So
that's right, man. I think it's just as important as running your business. If you have that influence and you can make a difference for the future, I mean, I think it's I've enjoyed it. Like, and you know, like you and I talk about WAPIO a lot. Like, I think that really helped me starting young and getting into it. You know, kind of getting pushed by, like, listening to y'all right now. You know, you getting your folks involved and you being involved. I think WAPIO does a good job of kind of encouraging that.
So David and I met several years ago at a YPO trip, hanging out. We became very fast friends. How old are you, David?
I'm 31.
31 years old.
Wow.
How long have you been in YPO?
Man, it's hard to, like, kind of like, well, I think I was 26 or 27. I'd say, like, 5 years. I think 5 years. But, you know, you got to do the conditional thing. So I feel like I've been a part of it since I was, like, just turned 26.
Wow.
You know, so six years, 5 years.
Well, there's a couple. There's a couple older guys that are YPO gold. They're over 50 now that I hang out with that have been in YPO for 25 or 30 years. Clay Grubb, Arthur Sammet, some of those guys. But
oh, geez.
But my age and younger, you're the at the age you're the youngest YPO or Southerner 7 I've ever hung out with. So I'm really proud of you. I'm really bragging about you right now.
Man, I appreciate that, Trent. And hey, I'll tell you what, it's been an awesome thing for me to be around people like you and learn. You know, I'm not kidding. It's a big deal for a young guy that's, you know, taking over a business and you don't understand what's going on. And you're like, what in the heck is happening? And, you know, to have some confidence from great business leaders like you and community leaders all over, like Ab, you know, you mentioned Ab earlier.
Yeah.
He's been great, great.
And he joined young too.
He did. He did. I mean, I think I might have gotten like 3 months or something. I really don't even know if that's true. I just say that. But the, you know, it's just great to have. I think it gives you a lot of confidence when you're that young, just to get out in front of your people and kind of take some risk and, you know, to be confident.
So you're in the grocery store business, Roberts
yes,
Company,
sir.
Doc Roberts. Who is Doc Roberts?
So Doc is my grandfather. He started the business. Man, he was like kind of like an entrepreneur type. Like, I always laugh. We started in 1968, okay, and it was a grocery store in Hattiesburg that was called Sunflower. Anyway, I'm not gonna get too far into it, but it's like a rural grocery store, you know, like format. But I always laugh. He was just an awesome dude, great golfer, just a fun, larger than life guy, big community leader. And anyway, I feel like he did like Southwest before Southwest. He got out of it, didn't work. Like, he had like the Southern Airways. He got like four airplanes that he would fly around, like Destin and to Hattiesburg and the Natchez. And like, you know, that didn't work out. And then he had always laugh. I'm like, he had Southwest before Southwest. He got out of that. And then he had FedEx before FedEx. And he got out of that too. I was like, man, how did we end up in the grocery business? You know? But I always laugh about that. But he started in 1968.
Yep. So hold on. But he was an entrepreneur. He tried to fly a plane, had a plane service, and then he had a delivery service, and then he landed in the grocery store business.
That's right.
No pun intended.
Actually,
that plane landed.
Landed, actually. And he had some convenience stores before that, too. Oh, man, it was crazy.
Did a little everything.
Laundromat. Huh? Yeah, our office actually is in a half laundromat, half convenience store. That was like in the 60s. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
I'm digging it. I mean, you got a lot of quarters?
Yeah, man. There's some funny stuff behind there that you can find. Like, there's a little like a secret hallway, I guess, where they had to pull out the, you know, or work on all the machines. And there's some. I'm kind of scared to go back there, to be honest. But I refuse to build a new headquarters, so we just keep adding on to it. You know, we got like 30 people stacked up in that little sucker.
So do you still own the laundromat at your office?
No, it's not a laundromat anymore. It's just our, you know, it's just our headquarters, you know, but it was at one point a laundromat and a gas station for my grandfather owned.
Get out of here.
That is so cool. Yeah. So I will tell you, so I mess around with junk silver. Define junk silver to our audience as old silver coins. A lot of coins before 1964 were 90% silvered, and then they stopped making them out of silver. So I like to collect them. They're more malleable. Silver's soft. I like to show them to my kids.
Dude, that is awesome.
I don't
you
do
learn
it.
Something new every day.
I don't do it for the numismatic value. I do it more just for the history, and it's kind of like shark's teeth and finding quartz crystals and stuff like that.
Arrowheads.
Yeah, arrowhead. Exactly. Same. I mean, I was showing off some arrowheads last night
to
my neighbors came over, and my shark's teeth. I didn't break out any silver coin. But I'll tell you, about 15 years ago when I learned about the silver coin pre 1964, my dad had jars of quarters because he's just old school miser. And I said, let me cull out all your quarters. And he's like, boy, you're not going to find any. You look at the edge of the quarter, and if it's silver, you can tell it doesn't have the brown in the edge. And he said, you're not going to find any. These people done culled these coins out 25 years ago. You late to the ball game, son. And I didn't, man. I went through like 5 pickle jars, I'm talking like gallons of jars, and didn't find one silver quarter. And I would go buy all the laundromats and put $20 in the quarter machine and get $20 worth of quarters and scull them out. Never found a daggone silver coin.
I didn't know that.
Oh, man. Dude, maybe we can, like, start something here in the grocery business. I mean, we still got lots of quarters. You know? I mean, we do that coins to cash deal, too. Well, I feel like I can help you out here.
Just know when to call. There you go.
We're going to pick this up when we return. Will you hang out with us?
Man, Trent, I'm always going to hang out with you, brother.
We got David Roberts, Roberts Company Grocery Store Mogul. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Breaking news, we have just established a business in the silver quarter industry. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the last couple segments. Where can they find us, Trent?
On all social media.
Instabook and LinkedGram. We're there, but no, all the social medias. But yeah, this is a riveting conversation on the potential empire of silver quarters.
So, David,
I'm kind of scared to get this up right now.
I say all this to lead in. It's kind of a leading question. When QT gas stations came to Charlotte, our commercial construction arm built about 8 or 9 of them, and I hung out with all these the construction guys at QT and all the leadership at Quick Trip gas station. All the leadership had to come up through through the register, and these guys are
great,
you know,
model.
These guys are 40 and 50 years old, and I start talking to them, taking them golfing and going on trips and stuff, and really wonderful culture, wonderful guys, and I started asking them, talking to my silver quarter, my junk silver came out, and these guys were all like, man, I got tons of it, because when I used to work the cash register, I would have dollars and coins, and anytime somebody'd bring, you know, give me a silver one,
that's
I would
right.
just swap it out, which is ethical. Yeah. But they said you would see these kids come in, and they would like raid their parents' silver dollar stash, and it's terrible. Like, buy 5 Gatorades,
candy bars, or something.
Yeah,
like, and they're like, "Whoa, hey man, those are a little bit more intense than you think. Maybe not worth the Gatorade."
So my question is, did your granddad and I want to hear, did your dad run the business or somebody at that next generation before you got into business?
Yes. So I am third generation. My dad's still involved too.
Got it.
I think you and I talked about our dad. And I appreciate you gave me a good piece of advice about, hey man, like, you know, don't take your relationship with business and all that, like, for granted, and your relationship with your dad. You know, I remember that part pretty well when you and I were hanging out skiing, but so I appreciate that advice. But yeah, so my dad grew up in the business, and he was actually a baker. He loved the bakeries, man. Still does. Like, that dude just loves cakes. And that's like two things he cares about is the phone bill. He checks it every single week, he gets so mad about the phone bill, and he just absolutely just goes straight to the bakery. Like, the dude just loves baking. But yeah, he grew up in it, man, and he ended up becoming the 100% owner. We've done some succession, you know, and things like that. So him and I are partners now, and it's going great, man. You know, there's family business is family business, but it's never easy, but nothing's easy. And, I love working with him every day, and I hope he never has to retire and just keeps on working and working. I think it keeps you young.
Go ahead.
Sounds like your dad and the carpenters,
yep,
and your brother in the gas bill.
It does.
I mean, seriously.
Identical.
Yeah.
And my dad, yeah, so when I came into the business, my dad was like, man, I'm getting back out in the field.
Yeah, he loved it out
this
there.
This office stuff's for the birds. And I said, cool.
Yeah.
So I grew the business. We were able, me and Travis and Patrick over the years, were able to grow our business because he built such a good brand, and he was out there networking with people like Lee Cornwell's dad, Steve.
No, I mean, and we have an electrician that's still with us, Jeff Robinette, who would lovingly call your dad his helper on the weekends. And he had no problem with it. Yeah, it's great.
That's so awesome. Yeah, that's like, man, that family business culture, I think it's so important, you know, and still having those stories and stuff. Like, we just had our head of meat, he was perishables, and then, you know, the older you get, kind of got to start, you know, delegating some things. But he just retired last year. His son is now our COO, but he worked for us since he was 17, and he retired at 68,
wow,
I believe.
Man.
So that's pretty cool, isn't it? You know, I mean, like, those are fun stories to talk about. And, yeah, man, but it's funny listening to his old meat stories. You know, I used to have one ham hock on my right hand, and then I would take the whole cow, and, you know, y'all got it easy these days. You know?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Now it's prima donna stuff. Well, let me ask you, if your dad likes the bakery, number one, is he a craftsman in the baking side of the – is he a chef of bakery? Is he a baker?
I mean, he could. That dude, I'll tell you this. I mean, I can't get into that. I don't know how much he can make dough and make it rise anymore. But that dude could definitely ice a cake like you would never see. I mean, it is a thing of beauty. He can get in there, get his hands dirty, get that icing going, and ice that cake and make a birthday cake for anybody.
Wow. So I mean, if he's anything like my dad was, there must be good margins in baking, because that's why he likes us so much.
That's exactly right. Those are your best margins in the business. No doubt about it.
So my oldest daughter, she's 16 now, bakes cakes. She still does some. She doesn't do it as much. She was doing a cake a month. And they're pound cakes, and she did, like, for what, St. Patty's Day month, she would do a Lucky Charms green cake, and, man, she could do icing. She was selling 30 to 50 cakes a month and cooking them in her kitchen.
They were amazing. Yes.
And she can –
dude, that is so cool.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur spirit, man.
Man, you got to put these kids to work. Okay, it's time for – okay, you know, no time for rest.
I'm not going to ask you what your margins were.
Trent, hey, man.
They're pretty good, but I'll tell you this. She had to pay for her own input cost. She wasn't getting anything on the free. She got free electricity is what she got.
Got to learn about that gross margin, baby.
Trent was taking the profit and buying those silver quarters, man.
That's what it all goes back to the quarters.
All back to the quarters, yeah.
Well, so my question to you is, the Quick Trip story, You got a box of old junk silver in your closet from the grocery store.
Man, I think I might can pull something out.
That was I led up to that question. Right. I will say every year we go to – my mom has a house at Surfside. We go first of the summer, kids get out of school, and there's a flea market right across Highway 17. And about two or three times I'll meander over there to the coin stand and buy me some old junk silver dollars. And
I've been with you. Done that.
Like, you're about to make me get into a different hobby and, like, get obsessed with this, because I'm just, like, now, like, just enamored. And, like, I'm, like, already got turkey hunting. That's takes it away. I mean, I got, you know.
Are you a golfer?
I've got to start picking and choosing, Trent.
Well, snowboarding. We know you told us about your snowboarding skills in the break there.
Yeah. Those are non-existent. My dad would literally – look down. No offense to you, Patrick. I think my dad would look down on me if I ever touched a snowboard. I mean,
amen.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Ski year all the way, baby.
I was telling the guys I was talking about Shark's Teeth and Arrowheads with last night. I have slalom skis. Reagan did these shadow boxes. My dad had an old wooden Conley slalom ski from like the '70s. It's really pristine, and I wanted to show. I've always wanted to show it off. So she did these shadow boxes and ordered these old O'Brien all wooden skis, slalom skis. So I have them all displayed, and his is in there.
Aren't those things like 205s or something? Like they used to ski like freaking monster skis back then. Like I don't know how they turned.
Like the Cypress Garden, the old yeah.
I have a Cypress Garden in there
too. Yeah.
You know.
I mean, those things were huge back in the day.
They have made those again, like the big fat. I don't know if you ever skied on one, but they're real slow. I mean, they're real slow, but you can still get them. They're for us older folks.
Yeah, and I think we have a pair of the fat little short Cypress Garden trainer skis for my kids. Yeah. They're white.
But you can get the slalom ones fat now.
Well, I'm a Conley guy.
I found my dad's old Rozzies. I think I was talking to Gallagher about this. Like, he had some Rozzies from like the '80s, and man, dude, those things are seriously like 225s, and they're like 2 inches wide. I'm like, well, how did you do that in moguls? Like, you know what I mean?
I had some pink rosin nails that were two. I think they were 210, and I'm a short guy.
Dude, that's.
I don't know how I did it.
God almighty.
I don't think I can go over like 165. I mean, I think I have like 182s or something. You know, I'm like, that's enough for me.
Trent, on 210s, you would be like going 85 miles an hour.
I was at Snowshoe, West Virginia.
Too, man. Trent can haul.
On the cup run. I was going to cup run.
The cup run.
Life or death, man.
The Volkswagen moguls.
That's like so it. You, dude. Just no middle ground, baby. Just wide open.
With a pair of blue jeans.
That's how David and I really started hanging out, was flying down the last run of the day. Was when we really, like, met and knew we met. Right? Am I right about that?
No doubt. There's no doubt about it. It was the last run of the day. And it was awesome, too.
You and old DJ Tugboat.
old DJ Tugboat. Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Hey, man.
AG.
Y'all boys are great. I love Mississippi. We're going to go to a break. Hang out, David. We got one more segment here to do.
Welcome back. At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last few segments, go back, take a listen. LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. We are having fun with Dave Roberts from Roberts Company from Hattiesburg.
And how many grocery stores do you guys operate
now? Yeah, we didn't even really talk
now.
About your business.
Yeah, man, we got way off. We got way off. Way. It's cool. I like that. That's the story of my life. But no, we have 20 stores.
20 stores. And,
yep. When I took over, we had 23 stores, but they were smaller and different, and we kind of decided to go a different direction. So we've almost doubled our revenue.
Whoa.
With three less units since 2018 or 16.
That is a story. Like, you're like an old wise man. My dad, you say, you always want to grow, boy. All my real successful buddies tell me the bigger you are, the less money you make, Ron.
That's right. You got to get those units down sometimes. But, you know, we always – our deal on the executive team is like, hey, foundation, execution, cash flow, and then rinse and repeat.
Do you own the properties?
Not all. Like, to be honest, like now, if we've been talking about just what our next step of growth is going to be, I look at all different things like ESOPs and the grocery business is a really successful ESOP program. And, you know, of course, don't want to sell all of it, right? But if you can make value for your employees and get them invested, I'm really interested. That'd be a great way to grow. But also, like, I kind of want to diversify some stuff for our family. I have two sisters. I bought part of them out, and, you know, they're not involved in the business, but still, as a family, you got to look at the whole family enterprise. So we have enough real estate in the grocery business. I kind of want to, when I'm growing, I don't mind having partners and, you know, doing leases and developers and all that fun stuff.
I would think you being in the right location is way more important than owning the real estate. So
That's right. Yeah, man, it all goes into place. And like I'm sure y'all both know a ton about that with the being in the contracting business and doing that stuff. You know what you see, especially dealing with QT. I mean, they're a pretty awesome company, and understanding that there's so many ways you can skin a cat. And just it's all about location, it's all about opportunity, and just kind of taking advantage of it, man.
So in the break, you said there was something you wanted to say on air. What is it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like a Hattiesburg boy, man. You know, I'm always got to throw in the bird, you know. But it's funny. We, you know, we've been talking about, hey, let's get up. I got to get up to Charlotte. I got to do this. So a good friend of mine that lives in Hattiesburg, do y'all remember Chris Mangum?
Chris Mangum.
He played tight end the year they went to the Super Bowl for the Panthers.
Oh, yeah. Big guy. I do remember that name, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure y'all are Carolina fans. I mean, I'm hoping.
It's tough these days, but yes,
well stick with it. Yeah. I'm not going to say I'm best friends, but I am friends, and he is such a nice man, is Wesley Walls.
So I'm all right. So him and Mangum are great friends.
I thought I knew that actually.
So I'm been playing a trip. My dad's got to get his hip replaced, and he hadn't been playing a lot of golf. I know we don't have that much time, but I need him to get back to being playing golf. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Office a little too much. Sorry, Dad, if you do listen to this. I'm kidding with you.
He's going to listen to this.
But he's getting his hip replaced like on 25th. But anyway, when he gets better, I'm going up there with Chris. We're going to go up there. So let's try to all get together.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, man. I remember back in the day, he lived in Hattiesburg, and you know, right after the Super Bowl, I was playing golf at our country club, and Jake DeLome?
Yeah,
yeah.
Jake,
you know,
the
he
snake.
Was playing golf. Yeah. He was playing golf with Chris, and like, I played quarterback in high school. I played a brief stint in college. Great backup quarterback. I was a great signal caller for a year. But but anyway, you know, that was like a huge deal. I was like, man, Jake DeLome, oh my gosh. Like, I think I still have his autograph somewhere. Small world, you know.
Jake DeLome was and Chris Mangum and Wesley Wall. I mean, these guys were, man, they're were like great representatives of our city.
DeLome calls and the radio, Carolina. I mean, I think DeLome's still doing the radio for the Panthers. I'm not sure, but
oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, they were that group.
Yeah, about won a Super Bowl.
I know that group was. I mean, that's like the elite Panther group right there.
And like, God, they're so big.
Yeah, it made you realize that you were backup quarterback in college. That's impressive.
Yeah,
as crap. I did not know that.
Good shot. We'll be like, he'd be like, good shot. Like when you're playing golf, he's like, man, my man's an athlete. He'll hit me on the back of on the back, and I'm like, ooh.
That's funny.
His fingers go over the one side of your back, and his palms on the other. Yeah, it's huge.
That's right. But so like I had to make the Charlotte tie. I had to throw in that Charlotte.
That is
tie
awesome. That is really cool. And I'm gonna come down there and get me a cowboy ribeye.
Where'd you play quarterback? Yeah, what college did you get? Where were you the backup?
At Mississippi College. It was a smaller private college, cool. Division II.
Still, still pretty sweet, man.
Like I was just like such an average. Average grades, average speed, decent arm, not the greatest attitude. So all the big schools were like, you know, give you a walk on, you know, whatever. And they were going from D3 to D2, so they had all these scholarships, and that's the only reason I went. I just wanted to tell my dad I got a scholarship. I was like, I got a scholarship. I'm going.
Well,
so I went to Ole Miss after that, though.
Well, I went to Chapel Hill and did in-state four years and out. My brother might have went a little longer, and my sister went out of state to College of Charleston, went to medical school. I told my dad, I said, I think you owe me a little bit of money. I think that's when he cold-slapped me, told me I was stupid.
Yeah, I'd love to see that conversation.
Man. My brother-in-law actually did his residency at the College of Charleston.
Really?
MUSC?
Yeah, internal. Yeah, I guess at the university hospital there. In internal medicine.
Hey, with TJ's rolling us out, how can people look you up, David?
Man, so look, I've never even gotten this. Our main banner, Robert's Company is our name. Corner Market is our name of our grocery stores.
Corner
Mississippi
Market.
Owned. I call it the Redneck Publix. And it's we got great people, great customer service. You know, we work on the culture every day. Our job is to take care of our customers, man. So if anybody's ever in Mississippi, Jackson, Hattiesburg, all the way kind of central south, go check us out. Check out our website,
cornermarketms.com. What is it?
cornermarketms.com.
cornermarketms.com. Thank you for listening. Go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. David Roberts, we're out.